أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا بالقاسم محمد والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين أما بعد the topic that we're going to talk about is perception. It is an important topic because the way that your perception is the way that you're going to look at the world. And the definitions of everything that exists in this world is going to be defined by your perception. And it is very easily understood that this would make a difference, is that we are looking at the same world, but all of humanity is looking at every single thing differently. There is a common definition of mother or father or brother or sister, but when you look at, for example, a household which has a religion of Christianity or atheism or Judaism or Sikhism or Hinduism, they're looking at those definitions differently. So perception is basically the database that we have built with our five senses, and that determines how we look at the world. And it is important that we get the perception that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us through Anbiya alayhimus salam, prophets, and then A'imma alayhimus salam. Because we have not been left alone in this world to define the things as we wish them to be. And everything that we have that we call, for example, if you call a car, somebody gave this word to that machine, that's the reason why you're calling it a car. If that person who made that word could have said that it is a bicycle, then today we would be calling car a bicycle. So it is those definitions that make us understand what the world is and make us see through the eyes in which things would look either this way or that way. Either it will look black to us, or it will look white to us, or it will look grey to us. So it is very important that we should build that perception, which is going to give us the opportunity to look at the realities of this universe the way that they are. And in logic or thinking logically, we do understand that this cannot happen on our own. Like this, these definitions have to be given to us by our Creator. We cannot just be left alone and say, okay, whatever way that this world is the way it is, and that's it. You are responsible to go ahead and make the definitions and think about the things that are in this universe and say, okay, this is the way it is. If this was the case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have sent 124,000 prophets. He would not have given the responsibilities of making sure that the definitions are given to the creation through A'imma alayhimus salam as well. So it is very important for us to understand what is the perception, what is the Islamic perception that a human being should have, what is the way that we should look at this world. And then once we have that perception cleared up, we will be able to find out what the definitions of each and every single thing is. And then when we are living either in a household, or we are going to work, or we are being a part of a community or a larger nation, things will make sense to us. The reason why things don't make sense to us most of the time is because of the perception that we have built. If you think about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the way he was giving the perception to the people, there were other people who were present right beside him, but they did not see the things the way he was looking at. Abu Jahl was right close to him, he was part of the whole revolution that the Holy Prophet started, that he was always in the opposition, he could never see the things the way that the Prophet was explaining. But then on the other side, you see that those people who took the words of the Holy Prophet and put them and saw exactly how the Prophet was explaining, was able to understand Islam in a different light. So, when we say about perception, perception is, when we were born into this world, we did not know any of the definitions of this world. For example, milk or language or any of the things that we got to know was after our parents told us. When we started in kindergarten, somebody said A is for apple, B is for book, C is for cat, D is for dog, and we associated the words to the pictures. And if you think about it, all of the information that we have inside of our mind is pictures. And give you an example, let's say somebody did not know about what an island looks like, but does know what water looks like and knows what ground looks like or earth looks like. So you can say to them that island is a piece of land which is covered by water. And as I'm saying this, even in your minds as well, you were taking a piece of land and water and putting it together, and you have the picture of an island in your mind. So when we say mother or father or brother or sister or car or house or job or religion or Shia or Sunni or Inqalab, revolution, or Quran or holy book, there are different pictures that are coming into our minds. And all of those pictures comprise our perception. And we judge the world, we look at the world through those pictures. But in my mind, when I say, for example, when I say father, in my mind, the picture of my father comes in my mind. But in your mind, the picture of your dad would come in your mind. Right? When I say mother, the picture of my mom comes into my mind, and in yours would be of your mom. But even though the word is a general term, but the way we are looking at that word and the picture that is coming inside of our mind is different. So just like that, when an atheist says that there is no God, or a Jewish person says that this is the way it is in my religion, or a Muslim says that this is the way in my religion, they are talking about maybe the same thing. The words are the same, but the pictures are very different. And the perception that is there is very different than all of that. So in regards to that, when we are looking at the world, if we are looking at the world through the materialistic point of view, for example, materialistic point of view is what? You grow up, you go through the elementary school, you go through the high school, you go through university, you get a degree. Why do you get a degree? So that you can get married. You get married, why should you get married? To have kids. The kids are there. You raise them, why should you raise your kids? So they can grow up, go through the same phases, become mature, get married, and then have their kids, and you can play with the kids as grandparents, and then your life would come to an end, and you go, and that's it. That is the materialistic point of view. And in that materialistic point of view, all of humanity is doing exactly the same thing. Like, in the West that we live in, there are people who get married, there are people who have kids, there are people who go to work. And you ask them, why are you going to work? They will give you the same answer as a Muslim would. I'm going to work so that I can make some money and I can provide for my family. A Muslim says that I have to provide for my family because it is an obligation on me by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person on the other end, who is, let's say, a Christian or Jew, she might not say that. But at the end of the day, they are going and working and doing the same things as everybody else. So it is that perception that defines the universe or defines the world to you. And in that definition of the world, religion has a place, community has a place, marriage has a place, fatherhood has a place, motherhood has a place. All of these places, all of these roles are there. Everybody is playing a role, right? Like, you are maybe a dad, you're playing the role of a dad. Or if you're not a dad, then you are a son of someone, or you are a daughter of someone. Either you're a mother, or you are a daughter of someone. You are an engineer, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, you are in IT, you're a student. If you look at the world around us, everybody's playing a role, and those roles are connected with each other. The doctors are needed for the society, the lawyers, maybe the lawyers are not needed that much, but the lawyers do also have a place in the society, right? Like the accountants have a place in the society. Everybody's playing a role, and that role is defined by the society or the culture or the community or the West or the East. And the responsibilities of those roles are also defined by the society, by the culture, by the East or by the West. And all of these things are connected with each other in a way that we all get affected. I was affected by something that happened 1400 years ago. I wasn't even born. 1400 years ago, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came over and told the people that you should believe in one creator and that belief will make you successful. When he started his preaching to the general public, I wasn't born. But after 1400 years, his speech affected me. I was born in a Muslim family and my religion is Islam, right? But if he had not come and proclaimed that prophethood, proclaimed that message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not have affected me, right? So all of these things that we have or what we do, we are connected in that. And in this connection, if our perceptions are different than yours, it will become in a result in which the truth or the way that this universe is supposed to be, it will not happen. And that is the reason why Islam is a complete way of life and everything is defined and all the responsibilities are defined. If we do not take the definitions from Islam and if we do not take the responsibilities from Islam, we will never be able to achieve that success in this world or the hereafter. When I said connected, well, for example, those of you who are watching, a lot of things had to come together for this event to happen. Right? And all of those things were connected with each other. I had to be born, you had to be born, you had to go through what you did, I had to go through what I did, and all of those things became together, and right now we have this event happening. So it is, we cannot say that our perception is our perception and nothing else is going to get affected by it. No, whatever the way that I think, the way I act, I am part of this universe. And whatever happens in this universe, I am connected to that. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could not have left humanity on their own to make their own definitions, to make their own responsibilities, and to do whatever they wanted to do. So the way we look at our life, the way we look at our society, the way we look at our religion, stems back from our perception. And our perception has been built either by our parents, by the media that we see, by the job that we do, by the school that we go to, by the people that we interact, all of those things that are connected with each other, are connected with us, builds our perception. And the reason why some things make sense for other people and other things don't make sense for other people is this is the reason why. And humanity cannot achieve success until they come to this conclusion that all of these definitions and responsibilities have to come from the Creator who has created us. All the problems that you find in a household, it is coming from that reason. If you see the problems in the community, it is coming because of those reasons. If you see the problem in the countries, it is coming because of those reasons. And in the world at large, all of those problems exist from that. If my definition was the same as yours, and if I looked at the word the same as you did, would we have any differences? Why is there that there are so many different pictures of Islam right now? Why is it there are so many faces of Islam right now? Why is it that even among us, where there are, you know, a small community, we have people who are thinking differently about Islam? They're thinking differently what their goals should be, what their responsibilities should be, what they should do for Islam. Why is that? Because the definitions and the responsibilities of those roles that we are playing, we haven't gotten that from the Creator. And in totality, if you want to summarize it, the religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brought through 124,000 prophets and then Aima alayhi salam was to give us the definition of reality, to give us the definition of things, and to give us the responsibilities. So if a mother is taking the definition of a mother from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and is doing the responsibilities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has ordained for her, she will raise those kids that will become, they will grow older and they will become part of that society which will be run by the definitions and responsibilities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the Imam that we are waiting for, why do you think that this world would be filled with justice and peace? Why do you think that would happen, that injustice will be finished? oppression would be finished. The reason would be that the whole system of Islam, which is comprising of the definitions of the universe, the definitions of society, the definitions of countries, the definition of communities, the definitions of all the roles, plus the responsibilities, will be implemented on individuals. And once those responsibilities are implemented on those people, everything in this universe, everything in this world would be filled with justice and peace. So where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, لَكَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا رُسُلُنَا بِالْبَيِّنَاتِ وَأَنزَلْنَا مَعَهُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْمِيزَانِ لَيَكُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْطِ. And the translation approximately becomes this, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have sent all the prophets and I have brought with them books and I have brought with them scales. And the reason why I brought all of that and the reason why I brought prophethood or I brought prophets is so that the يَقُومَ النَّاسُ بِالْقِسْ, so that people among themselves with their own strength, with their own power of reasoning, with their own willpower will stand with each other, will live with each other with justice. And that cannot happen until humanity understands what justice is, humanity understands what oppression is, humanity understands what prophethood is, humanity understands what those books are that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed to the prophets, humanity understands what are those scales, what are those definitions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought through those prophets. Once humanity understands that, then they on their own, they will stand up and they will say that we need to live with each other with justice and peace. And when the 12th Imam comes, he is going to be able to come and explain that and entice inside of humanity that humanity which is sleeping at the moment and give them the true definition of what justice is, give them the true definition of what religion is, give them the true definition of what oppression is, and that humanity which is sleeping at the moment will wake up. And humanity will live with each other with justice and peace. And that is the what we are waiting for. But that cannot happen until and unless those things are taken care of. So the reason why you see oppression over there is that everybody says that oppression is bad. Everybody says that justice is good. But their justice that, for example, West is proclaiming to, the justice that the West is saying that it is good, the definition of the justice that the West is giving, is actually oppression in Islam. According to the definition of Islam, of justice, it is actually oppression. But because they are saying that this is justice, and they have the media, and they have all the resources to get the people the definitions of what justice is, all of humanity is being manipulated. And if there's going to be one country is going to stand for the true justice that Islam is bringing, and they're going to stand for that justice, the rest of the world becomes, looks at them in a different light, looks at them as if they are the people that are against them. When in reality that country is proclaiming to have the right definition of justice and the right of human beings and are truly looking at humanity as humanity. You know, in some parts of Pakistan, and this is an example that was given before as well, there are, even if you look at mafia, you look at, you know, you've seen it in the movies and so forth, mafia, they have this whole group. They have, you know, brotherhood, they have family values, they help each other out, you know, they sacrifice each other for each other, and they divide among themselves all the wealth that they have in a good proportion, like with justice. But when they go and they are going and oppressing others and taking their wealth and taking their money, they're stealing from them. But when they are with themselves, they're distributing their wealth in a proper manner, they have ethics, they have morals and so forth. But outside of their mafia, everything is allowed. And if you look at the world today, outside of the foreign policy of America or the foreign policy that the West has, everybody who is out of those boundaries are not human beings. But inside of these boundaries, even an animal has rights. If you go ahead and, you know, God forbid that you are walking around and you kick a cat or you kick a dog, they're going to put you into jail because you oppressed the dog or the cat. They have rights. But if you go out of these boundaries, there is no justice. In Palestine, hundreds and hundreds of kids can be killed, but it is not a problem. It is not an issue. It is not injustice. People are dying all over, you know, in Afghanistan, in Pakistan, in all of over the Muslim countries, and they're killing them, but it's okay. But inside of the country, everybody has rights. Everybody has to be dealt with justice. There is rule, there is law of the land. But outside of those borders, there's nothing. So, you see, like, this is something of an example that I've given to you of the bigger picture or how the world is being run. If the definition of justice is being taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then there will be no problems like this. And unfortunately for us who live in the West, who get raised in the West, who are living here for, you know, years, or for those people who come from different countries and they live in the West, it is a disease. It is a viral infection of that perception that West has, of those definitions that West has, those responsibilities of the roles that West defines, we get infected by it. And once we get infected by it, we start looking at our religion that way. And we start asking, okay, why is this like this in our religion? No, 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 it should not be like this. Oh, our religion oppresses women. Oh, why should there is, you know, there has to be such and such laws? And we start objecting to it. We start objecting to our parents, we start objecting to our scholars, we start objecting to our communities. We start looking at all of our religion through the eyes and perception of that. In which, you know, maybe arranged marriages is a problem. In which, you know, putting a voice against oppression is a problem. In which, maybe so many different things about religion becomes a problem for the youths. Because they have been programmed day in and day out. And they have been given those definitions that do not fit with the definitions of the Creator. And because they do not fit with the Creator, the youths get confused. And on the other part, the elders are not playing a very good role as being a good role model. So when the youths are being bombarded by the media, by the television, by the newspaper, by YouTube, by Facebook, by all of those factors, what they are doing, and this is their bigger or larger plan, is to give you the definitions of what they want you to think. They want you to have the same definitions as they want you to have. They want you to have the same responsibilities as they want you to have. And this is where we are falling short. That we're not looking at our religion completely to define it the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined it. Taking the definitions, like, for example, Azadari has different definitions. Azadari has different definitions. If you go in the Arab world, there's a different definition of Azadari. Right? If you go into the India, Pakistan, there's a different definition of Azadari. If you go to Lebanon, there's a different definition of Azadari. If you come here, there's a different definition of Azadari. But is this the Azadari that if all of those definitions are okay? Or is it that there is a definition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us and we need to have that definition? We have to think about that, right? And when there is definitions given by cultures, there's not a problem. It is not a problem if definitions are given by the culture as long as they're the same definitions as the Creator has given. And if it is the same definitions as the Creator has given, we will, you see, we are not achieving success in this world. If we do not achieve success in this world, we will not achieve it in the hereafter. And the reason why we're not able to achieve success in this world is because we have lost our way. We are taking our religion from culture. We are taking our religion from blind following. We're taking our religion from the way our parents told us. We're taking religion from the way the Orientalists want us to have the definition of religion. We are taking religion through the media. We're taking religion through so many other things, but from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that perception that we have built, the way that we are looking at the world, things do not fit in and there is confusion. On every level, there is confusion in the household, there is confusion in the communities, there is confusion in the country, there is confusion in the whole of the world. And in Akhir Zaman, that is the condition of the people there is going to be. Sometimes they will go left, sometimes they will go right. If they go left too much, they will go ahead too much, then somebody would go right too much. And there is all of this confusion. The reason is, going back to the same thing, our perception is not the perception that the Creator wanted us to have. It is something that we have built. And we have taken it from other people other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you look at, for example, just to give you a simple example, if you're wearing glasses, right now if your glasses were dirty, everything else would look dirty to you. If you wear sunglasses, and they're green sunglasses, everything you look at would look green to you. If they're black sunglasses, everything you look at would look black to you. But even though those things are not dirty, even though those things, the color is not green, even though the color of those things is not black. So to be able to actually see the realities of this universe the way that they are, we need to have that glasses or that vision which is given to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Webster has a very good definition. He says that reality is something which is above human perception. Anything which is above human perception is actually reality. Because when it comes to human perception, it gets distorted. So, inshallah, what we will try to do is to give you enough that you can have, you can start thinking the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to think. You can start thinking the way that Imam Ali alayhi wasalam wants us to think. And in that light, your dad would look different. Your mother would look different. Your brothers will look different. Your community will look different to you. Your going to work would look different. Going to and learning in university would look different. The way you will raise your kids would look different. Everything would look different to you. Why? Because it will be the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. And I'm not saying that you have to take this as the solemn truth and nothing but the truth. But I just want you to think. And it is very easy. I'll give you one small example and you will be able to understand how our perception has been distorted. For example, if somebody was to ask you who is sitting in front of you, you will call my name. You will say that Hassan is sitting in front of us. When in reality, it is Hassan's body which is in front of you. Right? Well, somebody asks you, what is this? I'll say, this is my hand. I will not say, this is me. So, me is something else, and what belongs to me is something else. And every human being, as they live through their life, they are having this perception that this body is them. When in reality, this is something they own. When they say, this is my body, they say, these are my eyes, these are my ears, or this is my abba, or this is my cap. Nobody says that this is me, or nobody says this is me. Everybody says, this is something that I belong, that belongs to me. And if we cannot be certain of who we are, how can we be certain what the realities of this universe is? Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, Imam al-Muslim has said, Imam Ali al-Muslim has said, in the Quran as well, there are many different verses that relate to the same topic, that whoever understands himself or herself will understand his or her Lord. Someone who understands that this is who we are, this is me, this is my hand, you know, this is just it, that's it. How will that person, then there is no, you know, nothing to be concerned about when they have the definition of a human being as a homo sapien, as an animal which lives his or her life and using tools to manage it. Then, you know, we should not be surprised that people adopt dogs as their sons. That they raise them as their sons. Then we should not be surprised that, you know, the dogs have the same rights as human beings. Because that's the way human beings' perception is, that we are just animals. This is not who we are. So, if that perception is wrong about us, forget about everything else that relates to us. A human being in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you want to get the definition of it and what is the purpose of a human being, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that what is a human being? What is a human being that has the power of reasoning and power of choice? What is that creation? That creation, he's saying that I have not created men or jinn other than for the worship. And if it is the case that we are being created just for worship, then our definition is going to be of someone which is actually a slave. We are born as a slave. Human beings are born as slaves. They have been given the ability to choose who their master is going to be. And when a person becomes a Muslim, is proclaiming that Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah. That human being is proclaiming that I was put into this world as a slave and I bear witness that there is no one else worthy of love or obedience other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his prophet. And whatever that master of mine which I cannot see, which I can only maybe sometimes feel, is going to tell me what a slave is supposed to do, and I will submit to that obedience, and I will only have that love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So do you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's definition of a human being, how different it is of the definition that has been given to us by the society, the culture, the West? It is not surprising that evolutionary theory is something which has been taught in all of the schools and is part of the syllabus. And if somebody goes against the evolution, the theory of evolution, that person will not have a job in the school. Because the theory of evolution will get this person's mind towards a human being as an animal, which our descendants happen to be, for example, monkeys. So then there is no question of us saying that we are slaves and we have power of reasoning and we have choice to choose a master. Then it is, oh yeah, through evolution, through the Big Bang theory, through the first aquatic life form, it just kept evolving to who you are now, and once you are dead, it's just it, that's it. So then you cannot fit anything else in the human being's life other than eating, sleeping, walking, going to work, and doing what the animals are doing. The birds also raise their kids, they also make houses, they also go and they find their food. All the animal kingdom does exactly the same as you. Like for example, I don't know if you've been ever taken a go, you know, when you go from you know, the bedroom of Toronto to Toronto, you'll see these people that are walking and they are going, taking the same little steps, you know, and they just look like, you know, a bunch of sheep or cattle that are going to grazing, you know, and they are half asleep, they're taking the same little steps, they're standing exactly the same way as they were standing before, they sit down in the go exactly the same place as they sat down before, and the exact same routine, they go and they come home, right? And that's all they do, is eat, sleep, go to work, punch that card, come back and earn that livelihood, and then do exactly the same thing as tomorrow. And it is, you know, if you ever have also seen, you know, the guinea pig, or hamster, right? Hamster was not created for a cage. Hamster was not created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remain in a cage. Now that you have put the hamster, the instincts of the hamster is to go, to keep on moving. Because that's what his instincts are telling him, that you need to keep on moving. You need to go left, right, you need to go and search for food. You cannot just stand still and stop. Now if you want to cage this hamster, what do? You put a wheel there. Right? You put this wheel there. The hamster that has this instinct to keep on moving, keep on going somewhere, gets onto this wheel and thinks it's going somewhere. And the wheel keeps on turning and thinks it's going somewhere. Keeps the whole day he's on that wheel. And then once he's tired, he gets off his wheel, he eats his little food and drink a bit of water and then goes to sleep. The next day he's doing the same thing. And in human beings, instinct was that they need to be slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of a master. And they need to live their life in obedience. So what do human beings do? They go to work, they have a boss who tells them what to do. They dress the way that the, you know, people's fashion is defined by Cosmopolitan magazine or whatever magazine, GQ or Men's Health. All those magazines tell you how you should be wearing, what you should be wearing, what colors are in, what colors are out, what kind of food is good, what kind of food is not good. All of these things are told to human beings, and because they were created as slaves with their own power of choice and reasoning, they accept that. And they go continue their life that way, on that wheel which hamster, you know, runs over and over and thinks is going anywhere. And then once Hazrat Malakul Maut والسلام, comes and says, okay, now it is your time to go. And he looks back or she looks back in his life, what did I achieve? Nothing. Where did I get to? Nowhere. The money that I made, the wealth that I accumulated is going to be left here for someone else to use. The house that I paid, you know, I went through so much pain and stake to pay that mortgage off, is going to be occupied by someone else. All the kids that I raised, they're going to come and maybe put a shoulder to my funeral and then go home. And maybe remember me once in a while. So the person is actually not able to achieve what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him as the potential. And Islam came to define that, to define our reality, and to give us the responsibilities that our master wants. And when you look at it in that respect, then it is not a discussion of what the purpose of life is, but then the discussion is what is the benefit of life. You can have life, okay, my purpose in life is such and such, right? So my purpose in life is go to school, to get an education, to get married. Okay, you got married, what else? Now to have kids, that's another, for example, purpose or goal. Okay, now that you have kids, what is the next goal? The next goal is to raise these kids and for them to get married. Okay, so they got married, now what is the next goal? The next goal is I'm getting old now, so maybe I should go for Hajj now, or maybe I should go for Ziyarat now, or maybe I should think about having a beard now, or maybe I should start praying all those prayers that I missed out in raising my kids and going to work and everything else. And now what is your point? Now I'm going to die. Right? This is one way of looking at your life. The other is, what is the benefit of your life? If our thinking is, what is the benefit of my life, then I'll be asking the question, okay, this work that I'm doing, what is its benefit? In this world and also in the hereafter. If I'm raising kids, I will ask myself the question, what is the benefit of this, raising my kids in this world and also in the hereafter? If I'm thinking that way, my whole perception changes. Well, okay, namaz, you pray namaz. What is your goal? My goal is to do my obligations. My goal is to pray namaz. Okay, you prayed your namaz, that's it, you're done now, right? No, if your perception was that namaz is there to give me some sort of benefit, right? You would be looking at namaz in a different light. But people have prayed, that's why their prayers do not affect them. Because they're not looking at the benefits of prayer. They're only looking that as long as we've done it, we've done it. The same thing with the azaa of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam too. 2 months and 2 months and 8 days or whatever the case is, we have to do the azaa of Imam Hussain. This is our purpose. Okay, it's done. Now what? We don't ask ourselves, what is the benefit that we got in the 2 months and 8 days? We're supposed to fast. Okay, we fasted. Eid has come. We are very, very happy and, you know, everything is finished now. Okay, why did you fast? What was the benefit? So our perception even towards religion is not the way that it should be. So inshallah what we'll try to do is look at religion in the light, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has defined it. And the way our responsibilities are. And everything in religion is tawheed. Your fru'e-deen, your akhlaq, your rasul-e-deen, they all come back to one thing, and that is tawheed. Our purpose was, our responsibilities was to get out of this obedience and love of others and to come in the obedience and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So inshallah, for the next few times that we're going to be in front of you, we're going to take Asul-e-Deen, we're going to take Asul-e-Deen and define them and see what our responsibilities are. Because our responsibilities are not just, you know, the wajibat and the mustahabat of fiqh. Our responsibilities, there are obligations for tawheed. There are obligations for nubuwwat, for prophethood. There are obligations for walayat of Imam Ali alayhi salam, of Aiman al Muslim. There are responsibilities of hereafter. There are wajibat of the hereafter, of qiyamat. There are obligations of adl ilahi. If you say that, I believe in the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and He is all just, then why are you complaining if something bad happens to you? Right? And then there are responsibilities in Furu'e-Deen as well. Those responsibilities that are in Furu'e-Deen, they have a benefit attached to it. And we're going to talk about those benefits. Right? And then when you look at akhlaq, akhlaq is not just a matter of having manners. Akhlaq is the study of human soul. And human soul is who you are. human soul is who you are. You are the sum of your knowledge and your action. That's who you are. If your knowledge is defined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if your actions are defined by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you are a human being. And if it's not, then you are no different than any other animal out there. The question is not a good or bad person. The question is this person a human being or not? And the definition of a human being, good human being, as is not Mother Teresa, is not Gandhi. You know, are you always Mother Teresa going to go to heaven or not? This is like their biggest worry about Mother Teresa. Whether she's going to go to heaven or not, is Gandhi going to go to heaven or not? You see, they were good human beings. The point is not good human beings or bad human beings. The point is, was that person a human being or not? And you can find that, you know, it is the time for Hajj, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salatu wasalam there. There are so many people there. The crowd is massive. There is a person who's blind, cannot see all of that crowd, but can hear the noises, and he's saying to Imam, Imam, look, so many people are there. You know, they have come for Hajj, and they are there, and mashallah, this is so nice, this is so good. And Imam says, really, there are so many human beings, there are so many people here. Imam says, the person says, yeah, the blind person says, yeah, there are so many people here. Imam says, okay, come. And now, because this person was blind, Imam made a gesture of his hand, and when this person looked through the gesture of Imam's hand, what did he see? He saw around Khana Kaaba, animals. Animals going around Khana Kaaba, and in between those animals, there was a few human beings also doing tawaf. So the question isn't it, good human being, dindar or bedeen? That's not the question. The question is the person a human being or not? Right? So, akhlaq is actually the study of the soul. And all of these three things were actually divided by the ulama of Islam so that people can understand Islam easily. Rasul-e-Deen, Furu-e-Deen and akhlaq. Like when we go to madrasa, there is a class about aqaid, there is a class about fiqh, there is a class about akhlaq. Generally in madrasas there is no class about akhlaq, but you know, akhlaq, they give you the manners, okay, how you nice, supposed to be nicely, to speak nice with elders, that's good manners, or you know, you should bow down when you say salam, that's good manners. That's not akhlaq, that is manners, it's different. All of these three things are part of one. And if you take one and leave the other, you will not get Islam. And this is happening to us. We have Muslims, Muslims who are only focused on aqaid. Namaz, roza, hajj, this is not part of us. Just, you've said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one and Imam Ali is the wali of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and you love them and that's it, you don't have to pray namaz. Then there are of us that say, okay, it's just namaz, roza, hajj, fiqh, and dua, and nothing else. That Islam and politics are separate. To put a voice against oppression, you don't do that. You just live your life. And as long as you're taking care of your obligations, you're going to be okay. Then there is part of us that say, you know, you don't need to pray namaz, you don't need to fast. You don't need to go too much into aqidah and voice against oppression. As long as you're a good person and you don't hurt anybody, you're going to be okay. And most of our youths are stuck in that. That's why they feel more close to Mother Teresa, and they're worried about Mother Teresa, and they're worried about Gandhi. Oh, as long as you're a good, you don't hurt anybody. Who's defining good? Who's defining a human being? All of these three things are part of one. Just like a car. If you take one wheel off the car, everything is there. Would the car run? No. If you take one little thing out of the car won't run. It's a small thing, for example, ignition is a small thing when you look at the bigger thing. It's a small thing. But you take the ignition out, would the car start? No. So in reality, we are going to talk about all of Asul-e-Deen, Furu-e-Deen and Akhlaq, according to the definition that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given, according to our responsibilities, and combine them together to see what Islam is. And again I tell you, you do not have to take my word for it. I just want you to start thinking. I want you to start thinking that if we have, which we do, the perfect system, the perfect religion, then why are we in a state that we are? If you look at our households, there are family problems. The kids are not understanding the parents are not understanding the kids. If you look at our communities, centers, you know, like you go to some of the states or you come here, you know, in Toronto, you'll see in a radius of 15 miles or 50 kilometers or 25 kilometers radius, you'll see 3-4 centers. And all the 3-4 centers are fighting with each other. And all of our resources are divided into those 3 or 4 centers. If you go look at, you know, a little bit higher, you look at the countries, Muslim countries. Yeah? Muslim countries, head of state is shaking the hand of another head of state, which is oppressing the Muslims. Right? If you look at the whole, any little aspect of our lives, it is not in the place where it's supposed to be. So I'm not saying take that as the truth, but I want you to start thinking. That you know, when you look at the world in the eye, from the eyes of Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you can see Yazid. But if you look at the world through the eyes of Muhammad Hanafiya or any of the other people who were telling Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to stay in Medina, you do not see Yazid. If you look through the eyes of Imam Ali Al-Sattusam, then you see Muawiyah. If you look through the eyes of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you see Abu Jahl. If you look through the eyes of Imam Zaman Al-Sattusam, then you will see that the Yazid of the Waqt is who? When you see through the eyes of Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah, then you can see who is the biggest shaitan. When you don't see through those eyes, you will not see the world the way it is. When Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah said this, people are starting to object. As long as he was a marja, he was telling about fiqh and so forth, everybody was happy with him. But when he started, you know, seeing the way that the world was through the eyes of Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and telling people, everybody, you know, people had problems with him. And he says, "Har cheez ki mandari mas Karbala darim." He says that whatever we have is from Karbala. All of our perception, all that we do, is through the eyes of Karbala. It's through the measuring scale of Karbala. All that we are is a product of Karbala. And why? This is the reason why you cannot see the way he saw the world, and others could not see the way he saw the world. But he gave us that perception. He allowed us, he gave us the freedom, and he gave us the ability to think like that. And we need to have that vision. We need to start looking at the world through that vision. We need to start building that database. We need to start having that perception. Then you will see Islam would be a totally different religion. And it is not surprising that when the 12th Imam comes, people would shout, "You've brought a new religion." Who would be these people shouting, "You've brought a new religion"? It is going to be us. It's going to be us when Imam Zaman Sattu Islam is going to come and say that masajid were not supposed to be the way that they are today. What is this? When he's going to say that masjid is supposed to be the pentagon of Islam? No. It's a different religion that you've got. Masjid is just, you keep it shut for the whole week, and you open it on Thursday for a few hours, and then you close it. And he's going to say, masjid was supposed to be your center, through which welfare was supposed to be distributed. through which counseling was supposed to be done, through which education was supposed to be done, through which you were supposed to unite with each other, through which political situation, current affairs were supposed to be discussed. When he's going to tell us that, we're going to, oh no, this is a different religion that you've brought. Why would we have come to that state? It's because we have keep on getting the perception of our forefathers. Whatever my father did, I'm doing. No, the perception has to be from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be from the Creator, and once we build that perception, it's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us role models. You want to have a role model as a father, you have the role model of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Look at him as a father. You want, if there's a sister wanting to have a role model of a mother, look at Bibi Fatma Zahra salamullah alayha. See how she was as a mother. If there's a sister wanting to know what a sister should be, look at the role model of Bibi Zainab salamullah alayha. See how a sister is. Of husband and wife, you want to have role models, see how Imam Ali and Bibi Fatima Zahra's relationship was. Then when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked Imam Ali, how did you find Bibi Fatima Zahra? He says, ni'mal aun fi ta'atillah, that I found her to be the best help in the obedience of Allah. If you want to see the role of a leader, you have those role models. If you want to see the role of anything in this society that you are playing, you want to see the role of a worker, look at Imam Ali alayhi salam. He worked. Look at the lives of Imam Ali alayhi salam. They worked. If you want to have the definition of a friend, look at them, the way they were friends with others. And when we start looking at the text which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, the instruction manual of Quran, and looking at our role models, the way they live their life, then we will be able to see clearly the realities of this universe, and then Islam would have a place in our life. Place of Islam is in your heart, it's in your life, not in Imam Bargas, not in Masajid, not in books, not on DVDs, not on the internet, not in speeches. The place of Islam is in your life, in your heart. And we will inshallah look at Islam in that light. And we'll go through Asul-e-Deen, we will go through Fru-e-Deen, we will go through Akhlaq. And then we will combine all of these three parts together and make that building, which would be inshallah Islam in Nabi Muhammadi. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be able to have the definitions from him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to recognize our responsibilities as the slaves of his, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to be in his obedience, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to stand firm in our belief and wait for that Imam of ours who's coming, who's going to fill this world with justice and peace, who will clear everything for us, and whose zahur, whose appearance is very near. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses you all. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, illa alladhina amanu wa amilu s-salihat, wa tawassaw bil haqq, wa tawassaw bil sabr.